I didn't know if you know this, but because none of y'all are trying to do it. I dare you to go try to make friends at 50. It's really weird. You're like, hi, I'm Troy. Want to be my friend? Can't do that at 50. You can do that at, you know, like at 5. That works. I watched my little boy walk over to the neighbor. Hey, I'm Masi. I'm really Mario today. You want to hang out? And it worked for him. It didn't work for me. It's kind of weird, you know? So it's weird. You're out there, you realize, like, I got to go higher. I got to get around some people that are doing some things that are way higher than what I'm doing. I got to stretch myself. And every time I go to an event, I see Dr. Dave there. We connected long ago. And he's always been the guy. Always been the guy trying to pull people into the room. See, most guys are trying to get into a room. Not Dr. Dave. Dr. Dave's trying to pull people into the room. He said, there's some people I need you to meet. And he's done that for me consistently over the years. And we recently were in an event, and it was before the Super Bowl. And he said, where you going to watch the big game? And one guy said, I'm going to watch it here, and I'm going to go watch it here. And Dr. Dave said, well, I'm going to go down to John Maxwell's house, watch it with John Maxwell. Now, I don't know if you know who John Maxwell is, but recently I learned that he's not a noun anymore. He's a verb. And if you don't know who John Maxwell is, you should get to know John Maxwell. He's absolutely one of the most powerful men on the planet that's alive right now. And he drops dimes every day. And he just casually said, I'm going to John Maxwell's house to watch the Super Bowl. I said, well, ain't that good for you? Good for you. Little did I know, about 2-3 weeks later, he had invited me into a room where I was sitting right next to John Maxwell. I want you to stand to your feet and make welcome with me my good friend, Dr. Dave Martin, as he comes to minister the word today.
Oh, good morning. Hey, before you sit down. I was slow on it. If you've ever heard me before, you've said this before, but if not, maybe your first time. Look around you. Find the best-looking person you can this morning. Just find them. When you find them, look right at them. Look at them. Tell them this. Tell them the rest of your life. All right. Let's try it again. I feel like you could do better than that. Look at your second choice. Find your second choice real quick. All right. Look at them. Tell them the rest of your life. That's getting better. Let's try one more time. Look, just point to yourself. Just try this. Try this. Say the rest of my life. You sound a lot better when you start talking about yourself. Say, will be the best of my life. Okay, now you know what we're going to say. I want you to say it one more time like you really believe it. Because how many believe your life could get better? How many believe that? How many believe with Jesus, life gets better? I say it all the time. Life goes better when you put God first. I tell you what, when you put him first in your life, there's a whole lot of people in here that can tell you it doesn't get perfect. Life's not perfect, but it can get a whole lot better. One more time before you sit down, say the rest of my life will be the best of my life. All right, you can be seated. I love what Pastor was saying. How many love your church, by the way? How many are grateful for your church? Man, I tell you what, how could you not love this church when you got leaders and pastors like you have here? How many are thankful for them? How many are thankful for Pastor Troy and his family? And man, I tell you, there's just some people you get around them and you just like being around them. Just the more you're around them, the more you like them. Other people, you know what I'm talking about. The more you're around them, the less you want to be. But Pastor Troy is one of those people. I just enjoy being around him. What an honor it is to get to share today and speak with you. I love what he was saying about even the platform, and it reminded me of a book I'm actually working on right now. I've had the opportunity and the privilege to go places in the world I never dreamed I would go. I grew up a poor kid in Mississippi. My dad was a pastor of a little small church out in the middle of nowhere. I never dreamed I'd go places like Paris. But I got to go to Paris, and I saw the Notre Dame Cathedral. How many have heard of the Notre Dame Cathedral? Maybe you've been there, maybe you've seen it. You know, it took over 100 years to build that cathedral. Over 100 years. One time I got to go to Germany, and I love going to see old churches and old cathedrals, and there's one there called the Cologne Cathedral. And I got to go and see that. It took over 600 years to build that cathedral. In Barcelona, I got to go and visit, walk through a place called La Sagrada Familia. It's a cathedral that's in the process of being built right now. It started in 1894. They started, we thought this platform was taking a long time. They started building the church in 1894. A guy named Antonio Gaudi designed the building, and he designed it with a 200-year plan of completion. He knew that he would never see the completion of the vision. But what he was building was not for him and not for that generation. But what they were building was for generations and generations to come. And I love as we were talking here and praying over the next generation. And we're looking at building something that will last for generations, building on top of generations and building for generations to come. Because, I mean, Jesus could come back tomorrow, but if not, our children and our grandchildren will be leading church on the North Coast. So what we're building, and I love what Antonio Gaudi said. He said, my boss is not in a hurry. And I think if we could get a cathedral mindset, even with all the modern technology and everything that they have today, they still don't think the building will be done until about 2026, which is pretty good because that's 46 years ahead of time or something like that. We think things take forever. If we could just get that kind of mindset, that cathedral mindset, what we're building today is not for us, but it's for generations and generations to come. Your generosity is not just for today. Well, you're building something that will reach your children and your children's children and your grandchildren. And you talk about leaving a legacy. How many want to do something that makes your life count? You want to make a difference with your life. We don't want to just, well, we're here, and that just kind of is what it is. But I believe what we're building is for generations to come. And that's been my prayer, is that everything I do will impact my son and his son and daughter and whatever he has in generations and generations to come. He doesn't have any yet. He's just 18. By the way, my wife, who's been here before, my wife sends her greetings, my wife and my son. You might have remembered Christine, and my son's name is Solomon. Solomon's our miracle. Just turned 18, getting ready to go to college on a football scholarship, so we're pretty proud of him. We tried for 9 years. We didn't know if we'd be able to have kids, and so finally there he was, and so we still believe in miracles. Not just that he got here, but I mean that she got pregnant, but that he made it in the middle of the pregnancy. They said it was the baby was in her fallopian tube, and so they were going to have to remove the baby. So finally, after 9 years, we finally had the baby, and now they're telling us they're going to have to remove the baby. But you know what? We remembered what the... How many believe the Bible? Let me just check that. Okay, about half of you. Wouldn't you hate to find out it wasn't true? That'd be horrible. You ever thought about that? Like, what if God didn't really write all that stuff? That's a big book. Come on, anybody, be honest. Has anybody ever wondered, did God really write all that? You won't go to hell. Let me see your hand. Thank you. A few honest people. Thank you. I've been in church my whole life. My dad's a preacher. My grandfather's a preacher. I've wondered, did God really write all this stuff? Started thinking one day, if God didn't do it, who did? Right? Someone had to have done it if it wasn't God. So I started thinking of people I knew. You got to narrow it down, Maybe my Uncle Tony wrote it. I don't know. He don't do a whole lot. He could have done it. Then I found that scripture. If you don't work, you don't eat. I'm like, nope, Uncle Tony didn't write this. You could start thinking of people. Your kids didn't write it. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Nope. Maybe my wife wrote it. Submit to you. Nope. How many, be honest, how many of you wrote the Bible, how many can think of like three things you would not have put in there? Come on, there have been like 8 commandments. Tithing would have been lower, right? Let's go with 5%. Here's what I know. No human being could have ever wrote a standard this high. So if God said it, I'm just crazy enough to believe it. And so when you really get a hold of that and really get an understanding of what God wants to do, we're in a series at our church over in Detroit. I pastor a church in Detroit called Motor City Church. And we're in the middle of a series. We kind of flipped up that old "What Would Jesus Do?" You know, the WWJD bracelets. We kind of flipped it up, and we've been talking about what did Jesus do, and whatever he did, that's what you're supposed to be doing. And I love that, seeing the young people laying hands on people, and I just that's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus, right? And so I still believe Jesus is doing miracles. I love as we were praying for people. And I feel like there was someone, even during that prayer time, someone's been dealing with a hernia that God's healing. And so I don't know who it is that's having some stomach issues. I felt there was something in the hernia, and then also in someone's prostate that was being healed. And so if that's you, I'd just encourage you to receive that. Because how many know God's still healing people today? By his stripes, you were healed. If you were, that means you already are. He's already paid the price. When he died on the cross, the price he paid was way more than just for your salvation. Now, if he just got saved, he'd be happy. But the price he paid way too high of a price just for that. But he paid the price for your healing. He paid the price. You know, that crown of thorns. I think about that crown of thorns. We're getting ready to go into the Easter season. I think about that crown of thorns that he took and the pressure. As that, not only did blood come out, but when it pierces the brain, it goes in and causes such an intense pressure. And that price that he paid through those crown of thorns, maybe you're dealing with some anxiety, some mental illness, some stress. Just know that he already paid the price for that. And that healing can come to you. A lot of people are taking a lot of pills. And I think best pill you can take, I mean, if you're a doctor, do what you got to do, you know. But while you're doing that, believe for healing, make sure you take some of the gospel pills. You know, that's some good pills to take. You just take a gospel pill and watch what God will do in your life. But anyway, My wife found out that the baby was, they wanted to remove the baby. And we said, well, my goodness, we've been believing a long time for this. We're not going to give up that easy. I love the pastor said, every time you're here, we're going to walk down here. We're going to do it until we see the manifestation of the healing that's already been paid for. And so we just started praying. The doctor said, well, we'll schedule the surgery. We just kept praying, believing God, and went in for the surgery. But we didn't quit believing because, you know, that old song, what is it? Late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around, right? I don't know why he has to wait till midnight, but 5:30 would have been much better time for me. But how many know God's timing's not our timing, right? A friend of mine wrote a book. I said, God's never failed me yet, but he scared me to death a few times, right? He kind of waited till the last minute. But we were there. They were doing the last ultrasound before they went in to do the surgery. And as they did, they said, someone's made a mistake. They said, your baby's not in your womb. Or your baby's not in your tube. He's in your womb exactly where he's supposed to be. Doesn't look like it's lost any time. And someone made a mistake. Well, they called it a mistake. We just called it a miracle. And my wife went on to carry him for 9 months, and he came out perfect. And wait, he's not perfect, but he actually didn't even come out perfect. He was born C-section, but you can't tell when you look at him. He looks normal. So only way you can tell is whenever he leaves the house, he goes through a window. But other than that, he's just totally, totally normal. Okay, let me talk to you about something today I think is real important in the body of Christ. Because if there was anybody that should be happy, it should be us. It should be Christians. It should be Christ followers. It should be people like you and me. If anybody should be carrying around a big Joel Osteen smile, it should be you. Amen. 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 You know, I mean, some of y'all need to notify your face this morning, but I'm gonna help you this morning and help you take a little happy pill here if I can. And so we're gonna pop some pills this morning, all right? Some gospel pills, all right? So I'm gonna give you a few of these. So if you got a pen, paper, you got your phone, something, just jot these down. I think there'll be something you can go back to. If you're taking notes, write them down. If you're not taking notes, just go ahead and write them down. Because I think they'll help you. Because, you know, I notice we give a lot of things away, right? We talk about giving a lot. We like to give. God so loved the world that he gave. And I think there are things we should give away. We give away our time to people to help. We give away maybe old clothes to someone in need. Maybe we give food. We give our energy to people. We give our resources to help build the church. But one thing I think we got to stop giving away, and that's our joy. And I find so many people giving away their joy. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, that the joy of the Lord is our... Oh, y'all, some of y'all been reading the Bible. That's good. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you've ever felt tired, maybe you say, I'm feeling a little tired right now, feeling a little weary, you're struggling to be strong, you got to ask yourself this question. Have I given away my joy? Have I given away my joy? Somewhere along the way, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you're weary, obviously you don't have your joy. You've given it away somewhere. And I'm telling you what, we have opportunities every day to give it away. I mean, you may have had an opportunity on the way to church this morning to give it away. Maybe you did already. You're like, that's why I was at the altar. But every day we got opportunities to get upset, to get frustrated, can't find our car keys, traffic's backed up, somebody's rude to us, what should have took 30 minutes, took 2 hours. There's always something that can just blow up your day. So if you're going to live in joy and victory, you got to have the right approach to life. Even on my way here, I was looking at my directions, and I kind of went into another lane, and accidentally, and I shouldn't have been doing that, but I did do that, and I had an opportunity, because the guy I kind of pulled in front of, he got upset, I thought he really liked me, pulled up beside me, told me I was number one, and so I thought, well, you know what, I think you're number one too. And so I told him back, no, I didn't do that. But we have opportunities to, I could have lost my joy, but here's what the Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, but you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory. I think if we just understood that, we are already victorious. Everything we do, we operate from a place of victory. We're not trying to get the victory. We already have the victory. So we're already starting at a place of victory, right? And we got to get that change in our thinking, in our mindset. And so I think how many would say you've probably limited yourself at some point by your mindset? Your thinking limits you. Yeah, and that's something I got to work on every day. I need a little checkup from the neck up, right? I get that stinking thinking and get wrong thinking and things that hold me back. I'm trying to win a victory when I've already got the victory. You've already won a victory over these people. Why? Because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, right? And so when you begin to understand that, you begin to change your thinking. When you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at begin to change. It's something I work on all the time, because joy is a way of looking at things. It's the way you see things. It's not just a feeling. It's way beyond just it's a feeling. Joy is a focus before it's a feeling. So you got to decide, what are you focusing on? What's that old saying? Life is 10% what happens to you, 90% of how you respond to it. Some people are frustrated because they can't control the 10%. And they're not going to be happy unless everything goes their way and everybody treats them just right. And it's just a wrong approach to life, because you can't control the traffic. You can't control what your neighbor does. You can't control how your boss treats you. You can't. All you can control is your response. And that's where the power really lies. I hear people say all the time, I'd be happy if my spouse treated me better. I'd be happy if my boss moved to another planet. Right, I'd be happy if I didn't have to sit in this traffic all day. No, you're allowing what you can't control to mess up your life. And so you got to change your approach. Even when you get out of bed, you need to make a decision that no matter what comes my way today, I'm not going to get upset. No matter what somebody says to me, I'm not going to get offended. No matter what interruptions or delays, I'm not going to respond in anger. The key is you got to decide ahead of time. What's that scripture in Psalms 118? This is the day the Lord has made. When I got up early this morning, I decided today is going to be a good day. You just decided that. Yeah, I just decided that. There'll be plenty of stuff to make it a bad day if I wanted to, but I've already decided this is the day the Lord has made, so I'm going to rejoice. That's my choice. It's my choice to rejoice and be glad in it. People say, do you ever wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Nope, whichever side I get up on is the right side. It's my choice to rejoice. So I decided ahead of time, before any of this other stuff happens to me, I've decided today's going to be a good day. I can't worry about yesterday. It's over. He didn't say, hey, yesterday was the day I made. I hope you rejoiced. He didn't say, tomorrow's going to be the day I make. Start making plans. It's Psalms 118, verse 24. You might want to just memorize. You probably heard it before, but you memorize where that one is. You know, well, tomorrow, you don't understand what I got. Tomorrow's the day I hope you rejoice. No, he said, this is it. Today is really all you've got. You really don't even have a tomorrow, because when you get to tomorrow, you're going to rename it today. So today is the only place you'll really ever be. And so if you don't learn how to enjoy today, if you don't learn how to enjoy the day that exists, how are you ever going to enjoy tomorrow? It took you your entire lifetime to get to today. Think about that. Some of you took you 18, some of these kids up here, 18, 16 years to get to today. Some of you took you 70, 80 years to get to today. My goodness, 30-something years or so. Or something. I used to always, why would you ever notice that people are like, I'm 29. You know, you look horrible for 29. Like, why do you keep saying this young age? Still 29. Like, man, that's you had a rough life at 29. You know, I've started changing. I just start saying, people say, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 72. They're like, you look phenomenal for 72. If you're gonna lie, you know, at least make it look good. But 53 years it took me to get to today. 53 years. My goodness, if I put in 53 years, I'm going to make the most out of today. This is the day the Lord has made. So I've decided ahead of time. I've already decided that it's going to be a good day. So when things come against me, I'm prepared. I'm not going to worry. My mind's already made up. Don't worry. Be happy, right? Remember that? Don't worry. Be happy. Come on, everybody now. No, I'm kidding. No. No, look. You have the power to be happy today. I love what the Apostle Paul said. And if anybody, my goodness, had been through some battles, it'd be Paul. In Acts 26, verse 2, he said, I think myself happy. I think myself, that's your choice. I decided to think myself happy. John 16, 22, I'm just giving you some pills. You can pop these pills whenever you need them, right? So make sure you're writing them down. You're like, I'm feeling a little bit, pop that pill. No one, John 16, verse 22, no one can rob you of that joy. That means other people can't make you unhappy. No one can make you unhappy. No circumstance can force you to get upset. Nothing can take your joy. You have to give it away. So you are in complete control of your joy, right? Yeah, now circumstances, situations happen that don't work out like we thought they were going to or thought they would. Stuff happens all the time. I rear-ended a car one day, and the guy got out. He was upset. He was mad. He came storming. He was to my window, and I looked over, and it was a dwarf at my window, and he was yelling. He was, I am not happy. He's banging on my window, and I'm like, well, which one are you? And wasn't happy. He was okay. I read a statistic recently. There's 6 out of 7 dwarfs are not happy. Okay, some of y'all get that later. So, you know, listen. So somebody is rude to you, and what they're really saying is just give me your joy. Give me your joy. Someone cuts you off in traffic. Let me have your joy. Someone ignores you and leaves you out. All they're doing is asking for your joy. So you got a choice. You going to give it to them? Or are you going to keep your joy? I just choose to keep my joy. I could be frustrated, offended, upset. But you got to make the decision. No thanks. I need my joy. I think I'm going to keep my joy. I'm not going to get upset just because you were rude. One thing. I'll give you mercy. I'll give you understanding. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But one thing I'm not going to give you is my joy. Right? Me and Solomon were at a store the other day, and the car was backing out right at the very front car. I'm like, favor. Look, we got the front parking spot. This is awesome. So we're waiting, got our turn signal on, waiting for him to back out. As soon as he backs out, a car comes off the main thing and just flips right in that spot. My son said, blow the horn at him, Dad. I'm going, no, I'm not going to blow the horn. He goes, yeah, Dad, they just took your spot. I go, look, I'm not going to give them my power. Right? He goes, well, Mom, my mom's from New York. You know, I can't help with that. But I choose to keep my joy. That's the one thing I'm not going to give them. I'm not going to give them my joy. I gave them my parking spot. I told them they were number one. I gave them the finger. No, I didn't do that. I'm just kidding. Life is way too short to let these little interruptions and little irritations just keep you from being happy. How many have a hard time being happy just on a good day, just staying positive on a normal day? Come on, be honest. Yeah, I have to work at it every day. That's why the Bible, I know a lot of times in the church, we thought that scripture said, be transformed by the removal of your mind. But it actually says by the renewal of your mind. It's by changing the way you look at things or the way you think about things. And so I'm constantly having to renew my mind because I'm just kind of, something happens, I immediately, oh, this isn't going to go good. So I have to work. I got to stay in the Word, stay positive. I was born a pessimist. I mean, even my blood type is even B negative, right? And so it's continual work to make this happen. But I love this, Proverbs 14, verse 30. Here's you another pill to pop in your, in a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Proverbs 14, verse 30, a relaxed attitude. When you're uptight and everything's got to be perfect, got to go our way on our schedule. If not, we're going to be all stressed out and it only messes up your day. Learn to relax. That's what a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Go with the flow. Just chill out. Right? Jesus said this, John 14, verse 27. I am leaving you with a gift. Oh, how many like gifts? Yeah, God's given you a gift. I mean, the fact that you woke up this morning is a gift. Got breath in my body. It's a gift. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Notice it's a choice. He didn't say, I'll take away everything that causes you stress and frustration. He didn't say that. He said, I'll still be there in the middle of those things. And if you have the right approach, it doesn't have to upset you. And we all have to deal with delays and inconveniences. And we all have to deal with, all these things, inconsiderate people and annoying people. And it's not always strangers. And sometimes it's people that you live with. All right, I'll move on from that part. Don't point it at anybody. But you may have somebody in your life that just, if you don't make this adjustment, you're going to spend the next 20 years just being upset all the time, allowing them to, you got to change your approach. Every time you let them irritate you, all you're doing is empowering them. Next time they do something that would normally get on your nerves, just say, I'm not going to give away my joy today. I think I'm just going to keep it. When they're rude, you just keep smiling. Psalms 94, verse 13, that you may give him power to keep himself calm in days of adversity. You'll have power to say, people may not change, circumstances may not change, but you have the power to stay calm, to not give away your joy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. I told you there's a whole bunch of scriptures. Just write these down. You need to go back and look at them anyway, because just hearing them one time is not going to help you. When you got to hear them enough times that you get sick and tired of it. When you get sick and tired of hearing something, you're just then starting to get it. right? And so I'm just going to keep giving you these. I love this one, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. As for you, be calm and cool and steady. I like that. That's in the Amplified version. As for you, be calm and cool. And some of you are letting things upset you so easily. Weather, grumpy salespeople, inconsiderate receptionists, family members. You got to draw the line in the sand and say, nope, this is a new day. This is a new day. I'm not giving my joy away anymore. I'm going to stay calm. It's my choice to rejoice. I decided today's going to be a good day, right? Because we all have those choices. Reminds me of these twins, identical twins. Couldn't tell these boys apart. They looked identical. That was the only thing that was the same as the way they looked. Everything else about them was completely different. I mean, if one was hot, the other one was cold. If the TV is too loud, the other one thought it was too quiet. I mean, everything else is completely different. One was an optimist, one was a pessimist. And their birthday came around, and their dad thought, you know, I'm going to try something. These kids are so different. I'm just going to do two different things for their birthday and see how they respond. So he went into the pessimist room on the morning of his birthday, and he filled his room up with all kind of games and toys and gifts and just all kind of just awesome stuff. He went down the hallway to the optimist room, and in his room he put just a big pile of horse manure. He said, let's see what happens when these boys wake up. So the pessimist woke up and he saw all the games and toys and gifts and he got upset. He's like, Dad, I cannot believe you've done this. You've ruined my birthday. I can't believe you bought me all this stuff. My friends are going to be jealous that I got all these games and they don't have them. And then half this stuff needs batteries. I don't have enough batteries. You've just ruined my birthday today. Dad thought, I cannot believe this kid. He goes down the hallway to the optimist room. As he gets closer to his room, he hears jumping and laughing and swings the door open, manure flying everywhere. He's like, what in the world? He said, what are you so happy? What are you so excited about? He said, Dad, with this much manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Right. It's just all in how you look at it, right? So you have a choice. You have a choice to rejoice. You have the ability. God has given you the ability to see things. You got to put on your God glasses. You got to start seeing things the way he sees them. See them from God's perspective. And when we're viewing others through God's eyes, it's a lot harder to get irritated. When we see things through God's eyes, it's a lot harder to get depressed. When you see things through God's eyes, he's given us joy. And my goodness, how many are grateful for this worship team up here that leads us into the presence of God? Wow. You guys are so blessed. I mean, I'm at churches all over the world. Some people can sing good, but then other people just are anointed to lead us into the presence of God. And what does the Bible say? In his presence is fullness of joy. My goodness, I don't know how you could come here and not be full of joy because we were right in the middle of his presence, right? I mean, Psalms 16 verse 11, and you make known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. How do you stay in joy and peace? Another song we sang, trust in God. Trust in God. That's how you do it. Romans 15 verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. When you put your trust in him, and today you have a choice to surrender to him. I put my trust in you. I don't know what it doesn't look like. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how it's going to work out. But I made a decision to follow God, to trust God. And today, it's not going to be perfect. No days are perfect. But I tell you what, when you trust in him, when you put your confidence, when you choose God, life was meant to be enjoyed. Wasn't meant to just be to drag through it, just to make it through. You heard me say it was a gift, right? Right? How many like gifts? How many like gifts? Let me see. How many like getting gifts? Yeah, most of us. How many like giving gifts? Yeah, we all love giving gifts and getting gifts. How many like unwrapping gifts? Some people love that. Who are the people that just tear the paper off? You don't care. You just, okay, who are the careful people that just take it off real slow because you could reuse it, the paper, right? I'm one of those just rips it all. I just can't wait to get in there and see what I got. I got we had our anniversary, and I got Christine a gift, and we were getting ready to go to dinner. She said, I had a dream last night that you were going to give me a diamond necklace for our anniversary. She said, what do you think that means? I said, you know, we go to dinner tonight, you're going to find out what it means. So she was so excited. We went to dinner, and I gave her a gift. She ripped that paper off. She was so excited. I bought her a book on the meaning of dreams. I had no clue what that meant at all. But John 10, verse 10. Look at this, John 10:10. I came that you might have and enjoy. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. I never used to read the Amplified Bible a lot, but I like the way it says things. I thought it was a girl Bible, so I never would read it. But I did, because Joyce Meyer uses it all the time. So I thought it was for girls. But I started reading. I like it. The Amplified just adds a lot of words to describe stuff. Maybe it is a girl Bible. I don't know. There's a lot of extra words in there. But John 10, verse 10, I came that you might have and enjoy. I love that. Not just have life. Look at that. Have and say enjoy. Enjoy life. Have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. How many want to not just have life, but you want to enjoy life? Not just when you get to heaven, but while you're here. Life was meant to be enjoyed. God created us to get through this life, not just make it through life, but with a great capacity to laugh. Oh my goodness. Laughter, the Bible even tells us, is like a medicine. Some people say we shouldn't laugh at church. What? Laughter is he gave it to you. Like, my doctor actually prescribes laughter. Yeah, he will do that to patients, like especially like heart patients stuff. He said, do this, eat this, and give me 5 belly laughs. He said one 20-second belly laugh is like 3 minutes of aerobic exercise. Think about that. Some of y'all have worked out more in this service than you have in a long time, just with a few good laughs. But a 20-second belly laugh, that's like 15. If you do 3 of those, 5 of the, oh, maybe that's like 15 minutes on the treadmill, 15, 20 minutes on the treadmill. Get a few good belly laughs in today. My goodness, I live about 15 or 20 minutes from Krispy Kreme donuts. What if I laughed the whole way there? I could just balance it all out. That red light flashes. Y'all have Krispy Kreme here? In Cleveland, there's some Krispy Kreme. Well, it has the red light. Y'all know about that, red light flashes when they're hot. It's the flames of hell, that red light. Run away from the red light. Enjoy. Let's take the word. Let me give you 5 things, then I'm going to pray for you. I gotta wrap this up. Are y'all getting anything out of this today? Five things. So I'm going to make it real simple. We're just going to take the word enjoy. I like to teach like this. It just helps us remember. How many have a hard time remembering stuff sometimes? Yeah, I do. So I like to write it down. We come to church. Man, that was awesome. That message yesterday. Oh, what was it about? It was good, though, man. It was good. I liked it. I mean, I've been, you know, I'm the one that preached the message. And I've been like, I don't remember what did I talk about? Yeah. So this will just help you remember. So we're going to take the word enjoy, E-N-J-O-Y. I'm going to give you something for each of those 5 things, and then I'm going to pray for you. E-N, so just put those down the side of your page. Just help you remember. I heard about these 2 old guys were talking one day, and one of them's anniversary was coming up. He said, man, my anniversary's next week. You got any good ideas, someplace I could take my wife? He said, oh, man. He said, my wife and I just went to this place the other day, and I thought it'd be perfect for an anniversary. He said, great, that's where I'm going to go. What's the name of it? He said, I don't remember the name of it. He said, but man, it was awesome. I mean, it was so romantic. I mean, the atmosphere was just amazing. And the service, impeccable. And the food, oh, some of the best food I've ever eaten in my life. He said, it was like, I was thinking it would be perfect for someone's anniversary. He said, that sounds perfect. You got to remember. He goes, I can't remember the name. He said, wait a minute. I got an idea. What's that flower with the long stem? With the it's red, and the guy said, a rose? He said, that's it. Hold on 1 second. Hey, Rose, what's the name of that restaurant that we went to? Okay, this is just to help you remember, okay? I'm just going to help you The letter E, the letter E. Write this. Experience the moment. Experience the moment. Give your total attention to the present. Like I said, today's the only day you'll ever have. You don't have it tomorrow, you'll rename it today. So wherever you're at, be all there. Wherever you're at, be all there. This is the day, not some other day. Moments were meant to be tasted, to be enjoyed. Today is the only place you're ever going to be. And for a lot of us, it's difficult because there's so many distractions. And we got electronics and people are on, you know, got all this. No one can hardly get someone's undivided attention. About 50% of what I do is in the corporate arena. I do a lot of coaching and speaking in the corporate arena. And in business psychology right now, there's a term called AWP, which stands for absent while present. And they're talking about how many people are absent while they're present. They're sitting at their desk, but the whole time they're on Facebook. Or they're at work, but they're checking, you know, like some of you are here, but you're on Instagram right now. You know, and you're not supposed to be on Instagram right now, right? You're supposed to be listening. Now, if you are on Instagram, follow me. I mean, while you're there, at Dr. Dave Martin. It's a lot of fun. Just jump on. But like, you can't be... You can't be doing two things all the time. People know whether you're really listening to them or not. Give your attention to the moment. Wherever you're at, be all there. It took you your lifetime to get here. Make the most of it. We already talked about that. So the letter E is experience the moment. Get the most. I want to get everything I can out of a day because it's all I got is today. The letter N, never settle. Never settle. You have this incredible treasure on the inside of you. The creator of the universe created you. You are his creation. And if you really understood that, there's a difference. There's some, none of us are like, I can't be you. You can't be me. Right? I can't preach as good as Pastor. Troy, I wish I could preach that good. I can't be him. I got to be me. If I tried to be him, that wouldn't be any good. Someone the other day said, you know, you and me, Dave, we are just alike. I said, if you and me are just alike, one of us is unnecessary. And I'm going to go with, it's probably you. No, none of us are alike. I can't be you. You can't be me. A friend of mine wrote a book, You Were Born an Original, Don't Die a Copy. Right? You be who God created you to be. Find your greatness. I understand there are some people that would fly around the world to hear me speak. Other people wouldn't drive across the street. I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with that because you got to know your difference because that's where your greatness is. And there's greatness on the inside of each one of us because God created you and your purpose was decided, Jeremiah says, when you were still in your mother's womb. That doesn't tell you something about the importance of life. Even before you were born, in your mother's womb, God decided a purpose for you. Your flaws don't prevent God from using you. We've all got some flaws, right? My flaws just exist to motivate my pursuit of God because I know I need him. I'm not good by myself. I mean, you're just that you're here today and breathing excites God. You're his creation, and he's excited over you. Whether anyone else is or not, he is. So don't ever consult people that haven't discovered the greatness in you. What other people think about you is none of your business. Eleanor Roosevelt said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Stay in the presence of the one who created you. And you'll never quit. I promise you, you'll never quit feeling good about yourself when you stay in God's presence. I don't have to worry about, I don't have good confidence. I got good Godfidence. I don't have good confidence, right? I mean, we all have stuff. People say things to us, do things to us that affect our confidence. My goodness, I think one time a girl in high school broke up with me. She said, I'm breaking up with you. You have low self-esteem. I was like, great, that helped, you know. Another time in high school, this girl called me. She said, come over to my house. Nobody's home. I went over to her house. Nobody was home. And I just kept knocking. That hurt. That's hurtful. That's damaging. So I can't live my life based on what other people think about me. what does God say about me? Because God, he's looking at something that he considers to be remarkable. He considers you remarkable. That's I mean, God never gives up or he never quits looking. So you got to find your greatness. You're like, oh, but I've made some mistakes. Who hasn't made some mistakes? Who's ever needed another shot? Yeah, we've all needed a second chance. Maybe I shouldn't say another shot. Some of you are like, yeah, I like this church already. No, I have a book called Another Shot. I don't know. I may have had that one time when I was here before. Actually, I've had the opportunity to work with some great athletes, and I was sitting in the lobby of the Island Hotel in Newport, California with Kobe Bryant, and Kobe had just set the record for the most missed shots in the history of the NBA. The most missed shots in the... Now, 7 days after he set the record for the most missed shots, he passed up a guy by the name of Michael Jordan for the most points scored during his career. Same guy with the most missed shots passed up one of the greatest... I said, how did you do it? He said, I just took another shot. How simple is that? You can't let the fear of failure or the fear of criticism keep you from trying again. We're all going to miss some shots. Just got to take another shot. There's a great quote on the back of that book by Evander Holyfield. And I mention his name because the quote makes sense. I'm not just trying to drop names. Like I know Evander Holyfield. I just want you to know what the 5-time heavyweight champion of the world said about my book. But no, I'm kidding. I'm not a name dropper. If anything I have learned from spending time with Oprah, it's that I've never met Oprah. So Evander Holyfield said, it's not getting knocked down that makes you lose the fight. It's not getting back up, right? We're all going to get knocked down sometimes. Look at our heroes in the Bible that we preach about. We could go through the list of them. My goodness, Noah was a drunk. God still used him. Abraham was too old. Moses was a stutterer. Job went bankrupt. David was an adulterer. Samson had long hair. God still used all them. Leah was ugly. I'm not judging her. It's in the Bible. It says that in the Bible. You read the story. I'm just saying that. Get the New Testament. I mean, my goodness. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying with Jesus. Jeez. Messed up people. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. I mean, you just got a whole list. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. I was getting on the elevator the other day. I was at a hotel in Texas, and the lady looked at me. She goes, you look like my third husband. I thought of that Samaritan woman. I was like, jeez. I was like, how many times have you been married? She said, twice. I got off that elevator, but the letter J, journey with mentors. I encourage you, always keep learning, always keep growing. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Pastor was talking about, we got to spend some time with John Maxwell, who's my mentor. And when we were sitting there talking to him, he was telling us about his mentor. So he had a mentor too. Everybody needs a mentor. Someone knows something you don't know. The difference between where you are and where you want to be is what you know. And if you want tomorrow to be different than today, you got to learn something today that'll make tomorrow different. If you go into tomorrow with the same information you have today, you won't have it tomorrow. You'll just have a longer today. Right? So you got to learn something every day. That's where the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Some of y'all haven't invested in yourself, haven't bought a new book in so long. I mean, you go to I can't go to Barnes & Noble without spending $200 or $300. There's too much stuff I don't know. I got 4,000 books in my house. There's too much stuff. I don't know a lot of stuff. I got to find out. So whatever you do, get wisdom. John Wooden, which is John Maxwell's mentor, said this. He said, what counts most is what you learn after you know it all. Right? Because nobody knows everything. So keep learning, keep growing. I'm grateful for mentors in my life. Like I said, I try to learn something every day. Sometimes it's little things, you know. I like to sign books, and I brought one thing with me today. There's always two or three people that are interested in growing and learning, and the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, more valuable than silver, more profitable than gold, more precious than rubies, right? That's what the Bible says. How much is the book? $20? Woo! That's a lot for a book. More valuable than silver, more profitable than gold, more precious. All that sounds like a lot more than $20. I've invested thousands of dollars to spend time with someone who knows something I don't know, whether it's through books and things that I've never met or whether it's to sit in their presence for 4 hours, literally thousands of dollars. Because how many know it doesn't take a lot of keys to start your car, just takes a right key, right? And sometimes that's all you're missing is just a key. A key, how much is the key worth if you got a car sitting there but you can't go anywhere with it because you don't have a key? So I invest in keys. I got a whole key ring because I just got to have the key. When I need the key, I got to have the key. So keep learning. Keep growing. If you want tomorrow to be different than today, let me give two more. O, the letter O. And by the way, like I said, there's always two or three people that are like me that love to learn and grow. And I recently took six of our, these used to come in big boxes. I think when I was here, maybe back a few years ago, I had these big boxes. Some of you may have them. I had books and CDs and workbooks and all that kind of stuff. And with technology and everything today, we've been able to take a bunch of those big boxes. I was just speaking in Sorrento, Italy to a group of business leaders from around the world all come together in a different place in the world every year. And I had the honor of getting to speak there. And I took all these big boxes, and I think all of them by themselves were $3,000-$4,000 if you bought them all together, which we sold a package like that. And so we put it all together in digital form. And we took six of our top coaching programs, books, workbooks. So in this is six books, six video, or six audio books, me reading the book. If you don't like to read, I'll read it to you. I'm a coach. I love to help people get a plan. The Bible says, commit your plans to me. Most people don't have anything to commit to him. They never made a plan. So there's one program in here where I give you a game plan where we'll spend 30 days. When you wake up every morning, I'm going to be at your house. That sounds a little creepy. Just by email. Don't worry. I'm not coming over. But I'll pop up. Unless you cook good, then call me. Maybe I'll come to it, but in the morning when you wake up, I'll be there. After 30 days, you'll actually have a written plan of what to do next, because most people, that's just what they don't know, what to do next. And so I took the plan in here, that's in here. That's worth the whole thing in here. Mindset, I was talking about mindset a little earlier. I got an 8-week program. We go through 8 coaching videos, my book, Mindset Matters, which is my newest book. I didn't have that last time I was here. That's in here. How many have ever had a bad habit? Yeah, how many like to, you know how to get rid of bad habits? Make new habits, better habits. Even the Bible tells us that. How do you overcome evil? Overcome evil with good. So I help you develop some good habits. My book, Make That, Break That, it's a book on habits. My 12 Traits of the Great, some of you may have that. I had that when I was here before. Just studying great achievers, what made them great. And I found to put it all together in one book, save you a whole lot of time. 12 Traits of the Greats. All those are in here. So there's 6 different programs, and we put it all where you just do this QR code, download it, and it's all of, oh, yeah, there they all are right there. I should look behind me. There's pictures of it. So you can get all those books, workbooks, audiobooks, and over 70 coaching videos comes in this whole package. Like I said, if you bought them all individually, I think even just this on the website is, I think, $1,500. Don't worry, at church we always do a deal because church people, they always want a deal. The Bible tells us how valuable wisdom is, but we don't believe it. Anyway, you can get the whole thing. Well, I said there's just a few, not for everybody, but for I think it's $249, $250. So that's like a whole lot of. We'll spend a lot of time together, and it's a really good deal at that price. Say thank you. Could at least be grateful. I don't have time to talk about gratefulness today. The O, outrageous generosity. I love when Pastor was talking to us about our giving today, that how important it is and the difference we're making in pregnancy centers and we're building things that'll help our church have greater impact and all these things happen. They take resources, but they take people that, I don't know about you, but I love giving. How many enjoy giving? Yeah, most of us do. I mean, God created us in His image, right? And He was a giver, for God so loved the world that He gave. So giving is just kind of natural. It's kind of who we are. Now, I grew up in church. They taught us about tithe and offer. You better pay your tithe. God will kill you. That's how, we didn't learn the joy of giving. We were scared. Like, God was like the godfather of the mafia, and tithe was like protection money. Just give Him His money. He won't break your legs. You know, we went to kids' church. They taught us songs in there. God will take it out of your hide if you don't pay your tithe. You know, we didn't learn the joy that comes when you give to God. And man, when I learned how joyful it is to be able to help others, to be able to bless others, that God blesses us to be a blessing. And that's really the purpose of blessing, is to be a blessing. That's like the purpose of water pipes. In this room are water pipes, in this building. What do? They distribute water. The purpose of the pipe is not to get wet. The purpose of the pipe is to distribute water. Now, how many know the pipe will get wet? It's not the purpose, it's just part of the process. The purpose of God's blessing is so that you can be a blessing, so that you can distribute. My prayer every day, Lord, make me a distribution center of your blessings. Bless me today so that I can bless someone else. And I'm looking for ways to be a blessing to others. Now, in the process of being a blessing, well, the Bible says you're going to be blessed, right? When you give, you will receive. Just part of the, it's not the purpose. When you make it the purpose, that's when it gets all messed up. So there's nothing wrong with having a boat, but that can't be your purpose for the boat. That's my blessing. No, my blessing is to be a blessing. And in the process, maybe I get a boat. Nothing wrong with having a boat. I think you should have a boat. And if you have a boat, I think we should be friends. Say that one. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Look for ways to be outrageously generous. And you'll just work your way. God will keep, it's like working out. You don't go in the gym, lift 500 pounds the first day. You start with 100, right? And you work up to 150 and you work your way up. Same with generosity. I can say one day I'm going to give $100,000. But you know what? I got to start with what I have. Maybe $5, maybe $10. And then I work my way up to $20. I remember the first time I gave $100. I never forget the first time I gave $100. I remember it still to this day. That was huge to me. Above my tithe and offering, just a gave generously. My tithe is just, you know, that belongs to God. But above that is when we're real true generosity. That outrageous generosity comes above that part. The tithe just belongs to God. But then above that, I have this opportunity to be generous. And I remember the first time I gave $500. That was a big one. I remember, I never forget. I was sitting in service, just enjoying the preacher said, there's several people here today that can give $500 in this offering. I remember him saying that. I remember sitting on the second row right over here thinking, whoa, $500. I hope God speaks to him. I didn't want to be one. Just whoever they were, all of a sudden I felt like God said, you're one of them. I said, oh, shoot. I hadn't nearly got into generosity to that extreme yet. And my wife leaned over and says, God telling you anything? I said, I don't know. Is he telling you anything? She said, I think we're supposed to be one of those to give 500. Oh. Remember, I got reached for my wallet. I started pulling my wallet out. As soon as I did, the guy next to me said, I'm one of them. I said, whew. I guess I overheard God talking to him. So I put my wallet back in my pocket. I knew God was talking to me, so I wrote the check. I wrote the, filling out the envelope, and ink was smearing from the tears. God loves a cheerful giver. Whatever. He also loves uncheerful givers. He loves everybody. I tell you what, if you're happy every time you give, you probably don't give a lot. There's a lot of times I haven't been happy. Willing, yes. Obedient, fine. Happy, no. No. No, that day I had $503 in my checkbook. When you have $503 and he wants $500 of it, I was crying. People are like, you shouldn't cry when you give to God. I said, I'm not. I'm watering my seed. Just watering my... You want to enjoy life? Be generous. Watch the joy that you, as you give to others, watch the joy that comes back to you. And the last letter, Y, yield to maintenance. Yield to maintenance. You got to rest every now and then. Tired eyes rarely see a bright future. Tired eyes, even God, it's the Sabbath principle, right? Even on the seventh day, God even rested. When you're tired, mountains seem higher, valleys seem deeper. When you're tired, you assess situations totally different. It's important to rest. When fatigue walks in, faith walks out. You got to rest. You got to rejuvenate. It's part of the plan. It's part of God's plan for your life. So those are just a few things that help you to enjoy life. But don't give your joy away. Keep the joy, because that's God's plan for you, to be joyous, to be filled with laughter. I'm not saying life's going to be perfect. We all have situations. But I choose joy. What do I do? Just pop a pill, right? A gospel. Just grab one of those scriptures. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I choose joy. This is the day that you've made. Let me pray for you real quick. I'm out of time. They'll have those resources wherever the lobby is. If you want to grab one of those, I believe it'll be a great help. We'll spend about 6-8 months together learning and growing together. But I said at the very beginning, just heads bowed real quick. I'm going to look across the room one time. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you're here in the room. I said at the very beginning, life goes better when you put God first. And I never like to close out giving people an opportunity to do that in their life, to put God first. Maybe you've never made that decision. I can tell you there's a whole bunch of people in this room that are going to celebrate with you because they know life goes better. When you put God first, He'll take you places you've never dreamed. And maybe you're here and you've never made that decision. Maybe you're watching online and you say, Dave, I've never made the decision to put God first, but you know what? I'm ready to do that today. I've tried life on my own. I'm ready to enjoy life. Again, life won't be perfect, but I promise you it'll be much better. So look across the room. If you're here today, you say, Dave, that's me. Pray for me. I never made God first place in my life. I'm ready to do that today. Or number two, I'm ready. At one point, God was first place in my life, but right now He's not. He's not first place right now, but I want Him to be. When I leave here today, I want to put Him first place. I want to put Him back first place. Maybe you've allowed a job, a relationship, something to come before God. But today you say, you know what? I'm ready to put God back first place in my life today. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to look across the room one time. Never made the decision to put God first, or today you're making the decision to put Him back first place in your life. If you're online, pop up a little hand emoji. Say, Dave, when you pray that prayer, pray for me. If you're in the room, when I hit three, just real quick, lift your hand. I want to pray for you real quick. One, two, three, real quick, let me see your hand. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, young lady, thank you, sir, thank you, young man. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Father, I thank you for hands all across the room in every section today. Someone said, I'm ready to put God first, or to put God back first place in my life. I'm ready to enjoy the life that you created me to. You came that I would have this life and that I could enjoy it. Father, you said it's as simple as this. If we'd believe in our heart, we'd say with our mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, we'd be saved. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I want everyone in the room, just say those words with me. Say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. You talk about a decision that'll change everything. If you made that decision today, they're going to give you some more instructions. I can tell you what, there's no greater place. If you made that decision here, I can't think of a better place to grow in that decision than right here at Church on the North Coast. Every chance you can get here to church, every chance you can get your kids in kids ministry, get your youth in the youth, get them in here. I promise you, give us 12 months. Give us 12 months. I promise you, 12 months from now, your life will be completely different than it is today. Come on, can we put our hands together for those that made that decision today?
Come on, put your hands together for Dr. Dave Martin. Thank you so much. Can we all stand to our feet? And if I can get some altar ministers to come to the front, if you gave your life to Jesus today, we want to pray for you. Before you leave here, we want to pray for you. So as the altar ministry makes its way front, if you're online and you gave your life to Christ today, please let us know so we can pray for you. And as our altar ministers are here, if you made that decision for Jesus today, please don't go that way before you come this way. We want to give you some tools. We want to give you some tools to help you be successful in your faith journey. Amen. So as we close in prayer one more time, I just invite you to bow your heads before the Lord. Father, thank you for all that you've done in this room today. Thank you for the joy that was imparted. Thank you for the spirit of heaviness that was lifted. Thank you for the gift that you gave to us today. We're so thankful, Jesus. We're so thankful. Thank you that you heal right now. If you need healing in your body right now, Jesus, healing. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing things we can't see. Heal on the inside. You heal to the uttermost, Jesus. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Live right. Love everybody, church. Pray hard. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. If you gave your life to Jesus, please come this way. Ask somebody beside you, if they lifted your hand, if you can come with them. Bring them this way. I love what Dr. Dave said. Give us 12 months. Awesome. God bless you.